Okay, cool. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, you see here that I have a denizen of the outworld chained up in my backyard.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, see?
Christopher Lambert.
He's bald. He has lots of blades where blades ought not be.
Sure.
Yeah. Many rows of teeth, and he's whimpering for his life.
I want to know more about this guy.
Yeah.
What's his origins?
Well, you know, we're going to have to let the history books determine, because he is our randomization.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Sorry to lay that on you, guy.
No, it's fine. Don't worry. He's not from here, so therefore his life is forfeit. Oh, man. Your sorrow gives me laughter. No. So much like the Santeria priest of old would divine things with chicken entrails, let's just give this guy a big old cut.
I deserve it.
Oh, it's candy. It's actually an animate pinata.
That it is. Bringing joy to the children. Look how your yard is now swarming with children.
Yep. Oh, no. Don't take that flesh. That is not flesh candy.
It's duck feed babies.
little baby
Money Smith. And little baby Glauber. Little baby Cameron.
Look at him go. Gary, who left the lab door open?
I don't know, but these duck feed babies, it's like the X babies.
Do you have a list of fan art you'd like to see?
I would kill for duck feed babies. Like, that's a serious fan art. Like, usually when we make that joke, I don't actually care. Like, it's like, oh, that would be funny to see, but I don't necessarily need to see that, especially if it's gross or sexy. But like, duck feed babies is a really good idea. Like, I like that idea a lot. So get on it if anybody wants to draw that.
But the way that the candy entrails. See, oh, I almost sure. Got you. I made you think I was a real monster, didn't I?
No, oh, yeah.
The candy entrails.
It was sentient, so it's not... You're not totally off the hook, but I get your point.
I just filled him with candy. Yeah. No, it says Mortal Kombat Special Forces.
Well, now let's fill ourselves with candy.
Mm.
And become the real candy golems. Of the recording session, I don't think this game is that bad.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say fuck. Like, I was like, okay, I was okay with this.
it's
like fuck plus,
like it's fuck minus.
Yeah,
it's half past fuck o'clock.
Yeah. It's, yeah,
huh.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross,
and this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah. This is Mortal Kombat : Special Forces.
Yeah. So this is the first chronological Mortal Kombat game.
Yes.
And the rich tapestry of Mortal Kombat lore.
They try so hard with that series.
Yes, they do.
To make it like have that. Like way more than any other fighting game series. Like, do the people behind Mortal Kombat wish that it was something it's not? It's like how Billy Joel like really wishes he was a respected musician. Like, he doesn't like that he's like a pop star. Like, if you ever read, I've read a couple like think pieces on it. It's like this noted Billy Joel thing. And if you read any interviews, he has a real chip on his shoulder about being like America's, you know, goofy song, you know, karaoke songsmith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't like that. He wants to be in the same sentence, you know, as the Beatles and shit.
But he's also done some like faux classical, like to try and shake that. He's done some really misguided stuff. Like, he tried to do like a faux classical, like piano music composition, right? Like, hey, here are songs written but not performed by Billy Joel in this serious musician style.
And that's what this is.
Yeah.
Like, this is the guy behind Mortal Kombat being like, you know, this or Mortal Kombat Origins Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Mortal Kombat Mythologies.
Yes. The Origins plague wouldn't sweep game titles until 2005.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah. No, we just have Mythologies. So this is definitely them at the height of their powers in terms of like Mortal Kombat's cultural cachet, right?
I mean, I would say like when around when the movie came out, it was probably the height of Mortal Kombat's powers.
I suppose.
Like, you know, that's when like Mortal Kombat was huge, but Mortal Kombat still had a lot of, this was before like it was a joke and before it really needed to get the reboot that it got.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is the beginning of the end probably.
Hmm, yeah.
I would say.
Them overextending it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like this came out in a version of the world where that could have tolerated this at least initially, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think it's that bad. Like I didn't have that much fun with it, and there are a lot of problems. Like the camera's too zoomed in, and the combat's pretty boring. But it's not like unplayable, like the way the last two games we did.
Right.
Like, I got further in it and had more fun with it than those games.
This is probably the most playable PS1 era game we've covered on the show.
Yeah,
I would say. Like I'd have to go back and look at it, but like in the annals of the Crow, City of Angels, and Cyberdeck
and Courier Crisis.
Yeah.
This is pretty playable.
Yeah. Like if I didn't just get bored and frustrated by the fact that I was in a building with six floors on the first level and I'm not going to backtrack that much. Fuck you.
The first level does not put its best foot forward.
Well, and they do. Well, Gary, it's a factory. Come on.
It is a factory.
No, it's a warehouse.
It's one step up from the sewer. And then the fact that you get a detonator, which turns out to not be part of an explosive, but just an explosive itself, which I found like frustrating. And then when I finally figured that out and used it, it just led to some ammo and I couldn't figure out where to go. So I quit.
I was pretty much in the exact same situation. I couldn't figure out where to use the detonator. So that was about it. So I didn't fight any cool bosses or anything.
No,
which
no.
In a series as noted for its characters, or at least visually distinct design of characters, like it's a series of monsters, right? They were gonna fight. Would you think that they would have had to make up a bunch of shitty versions? Like, yeah.
I am not gonna stand by and let you deface No Face. Like No Face,
Gary. Somebody swooped me on No Face's face. Come on.
I will. Who will speak for No Face? I will speak for No Face.
Yes. My name is the Garax, and I speak for the No Face trees.
Faces. Yes. No Face is my favorite character in fiction. Like, yes.
there's a rich, deep lore. Gary.
No Face is. There's Billy Pilgrim, and then above that, there's No Face. It is.
And you can read my crossover fiction. Oh, Gary.
Some Face.
Immediately. Go to mk5.org.
Okay.
Okay. Go to fan submission.
Okay. I also have something funny for this too, but I'm glad that.
No, I just want you to just in the background, just ambiently, open up a couple of these submissions and take a look at what's inside.
Okay,
I've rarely been disappointed.
Cool. But I got disappointed. I said it got 3D MK art. I didn't think it was gonna be the logo. So that wasn't that great.
Yeah. I've got one from it was submitted by somebody named Doran, and it's called Dreaming, and it is what appears to be a scanned color pencil drawing of what I imagine is Katana in the background. And no, this is MS Paint. That's straight up MS Paint spray tool.
Here's the thing is, so that thing where it was the logo, that wasn't the thing. That's the logo that appears above the submitter.
Uh-huh.
Because I went to the fan submission authors.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if that's where you're at. So you had to click further, and then I got clicked further and got some better stuff.
Okay.
So no, this is pretty special.
Yeah, just go through there. Here's one that's a Photoshop of V from V for Vendetta, as though he were a Mortal Kombat character.
Oh, let's see what Beat Machine 3's work is like. Oh, as expected. Yeah, these are really good.
Yeah.
So, I wish I could sort by average rating and just do.
Me too. I was hoping for some sweet fan fiction because these are called authors, but everything appears to be people's 3D models or their pencil and colored pencil art.
Really? Yeah, really bad. Frost Kai has 0 stars. There will be Combat Khan's birthday. Oh, I think that's actually pretty good. I should make this my desktop. This is wonderful. This is getting tweeted immediately. So people who are listening to this, look at my Twitter 3 weeks ago to find this awesome, this sweet piece of Mortal Kombat art that I found that I'm now putting on everybody's page on their birthday.
What's the name of the author?
This is, he's part of the community. This is Frost Kai 69.
Of course, it's 69.
Yeah. This guy's doing great work. I love all these things. His next thing is really good too. And they're like, they're positioned for desktops. Should I, is it time for me to change out my The Last Door cult scene?
Oh, almost assuredly.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is the old desktop here.
This is like sprite art is what it is.
It's just him taking the actual. Oh, that's
yeah.
Special.
There we go. So yes, everybody go to everybody follow those directions mk5.org and check that out.
This is
a repository for the people who care about the story in this series.
Let me see if I can...
who more bafflingly like the aesthetic.
Let me find some sweet no face art. Getting us back on
on track.
Let me see if I can find anything on no face. No results on no face.
Oh man, that's crazy. Like this is the Silmarillion of the Mortal Kombat. Yeah, like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of the inciting incident. You know, one could argue because Kano was the one who found the artifact that would open the rift to the outworld, right? And that's where he got all these,
right?
What's that?
The Eye of Chitian or whatever.
Oh yeah, the Eye of Chitian.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like that I think kind of like Gordon Freeman. You know, opening the terror to Zen, drawing the eye of the Combine. I think that is what got Shao Kahn and, you know, Shang Tsung interested and drew them to Earth to find worthy competitors. And Gary, we're just so, you know, we're so fortunate that Raiden, as they say, was there to, you know,
white guy, Christopher Lambert. So playing the Japanese Thunder God or Chinese Thunder God, as it were. Somebody thought that Mortal Kombat needed this much story, and not just that much story, like at a story mode in the game, but also this origin of Jax, who like they're really trying to deposit as like he's a main character in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like him and Johnny Cage and Sonya Blaze, I think, are the forces of good.
Sonya Blade, Gary, come on.
Blade, oh, sorry. Sonya Blaze is a that's somebody different. I thought it was
you're thinking of Johnny Cage.
I was thinking of an X-Men villain for some reason, but the, so Jax, if you don't know, he's a very muscular black man who doesn't wear a shirt, who has metal arms.
Yeah.
And that's his thing.
And I was checking because I was getting the canon of the movies mixed up with the canon of the games. I think he always had metal arms in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the movie acquires them.
Yes, and the movie acquires insofar. He didn't ask for this, Gary.
I didn't ask for this.
A demon rips off his arms and then he has to get like he's dipped in silver and he grows new arms out of it. It's real fucked.
The art that you found is really good, but possibly not as good for the podcast.
Uh-huh.
As if you go to Game Facts and find the story fact from JJ or J. Jewett.
Oh, Gary, I had that opened up when we would talk about the FMVs.
Yeah, the No Face's bio is, due to his vast knowledge of explosives and incendiary devices, be prepared for an explosive battle. And everything we know about No Face from Wikipedia is that he's described as having a knowledge of explosive devices, and he wears sticks of dynamite strapped to his chest and uses a flamethrower. He has no nose, ears, hair, and a pale complexion.
It's like Skullface. They predated Metal Gear Solid 5.
In Metal Gear Solid 5, does he wear dynamite and also use a flamethrower? Because that's stupid.
I wouldn't see it, you know.
It's not like, I mean, Metal Gear villains don't have to not be stupid.
Right.
Nah, I shoot bees. Like, Metal Gear villains are stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of audaciously and funly stupid, but they're stupid.
Tremors bio. He's the guardian of the gateway. His powerful style coupled with his blind loyalty to Kano makes him a deadly adversary.
A powerful style.
It's like they're writing pamphlets for these guys as tourist destinations.
I think what it is like when you unlock their bios in the game.
Yeah, no, this is definitely... Okay, so this fact written by this hero, Jay Jewett, he is either transcribing text from the game or he is doing transcripts for the blind of the FMVs. Like, you know that audio track you can get in movie theaters where it's like describing the action? It's it's the audio closed caption. Super, super useful, right? Like, it opens up an art form to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to enjoy it. I will always advocate
like
for
now.
Gary, I will always advocate for the things that make life easier for the blind. However, that is what this is. I have no idea what he's trying to. I have no idea what he's trying to accomplish.
What the idea is?
Yeah.
I have no idea. No idea. So.
So, I mean, do we want to give like a reading of this?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Are we just doing the FMV intro and transmission?
No, I think we need to do,
go to the end.
Level 5 Outworld and FMV sequence.
Okay. there's a lot of narration here.
Yeah.
But let's do it. I'll do the narrator and you be Kano and I'll be Jax.
Okay. Damn, okay. You got Jax. All right.
Jax then ventured into the Outworld. After exploring and fighting the warriors of the Outworld, he came upon another portal. He entered it and found Kano in a room with a mysterious glowing red jewel. It showed an FMV sequence when entering the portal. It was a conversation between Jax and Kano. The following is the script of what was said in the FMV.
I'm Kano here. I need to get up close, get some proximity effect here. Well, well, well. If it isn't that pesky Special Forces grunt come to seek revenge for all his troops, I'm quite impressed. You have managed to defeat all of my Black Dragon members. Pity. They were all looking forward to restarting our little gang. Little did they know they were only pawns to slow you down, and in that respect, they succeeded. You're too late, Jax. I have already reached the Eye of Shitan.
See, I think it's Shitian.
Shitian.
It's an eye.
Shitain. And soon you will know its power. And ha 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 ha, delicious irony. You will be the first to serve me.
The only thing I'm going to serve you is a steel fist to your face, you delusional maniac. After you get your pounding, I'm going to haul your butt back to prison, back home on Earth, where you won't have the aid of this overgrown light bulb. Sorry to burst your bubble, Kano, but the only thing you're going to lord over is a porcelain throne in a 4x4 room.
Jax and Kano then fought. It was a tough fight for Jax, but he eventually came up victorious.
Hooray!
Oh boy. Let me find is there a cutscene with my boy? I don't think No Face gets a cutscene. I think for almost the entire game it's just you talking to like your handler. Because Jax has a team of people, I guess. I'm not really up on the lore, but you know, Jax rolls deep.
Gary, just quick break here. Apparently the creator of I Want to Be the Guy listened to the episode.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter at the same time. That was nice of him.
Yeah, I know, nice, right? Yeah. So I hope we made it abundantly clear that we didn't think it was a bad game.
No, I think we did.
Okay, cool.
It was like the nicest we've been about a game since
Bad Mojo.
Yeah, since Bad Mojo.
Yeah. So I didn't mean to break in with real time stuff, but that's too. I'm starstruck.
Yeah, that's very nice of him.
You made a thing that I respect.
Yeah.
Thanks,
guy.
But we haven't even really talked about the game.
No. So it's a pretty boring overhead beat 'em up.
Yeah. So it's top down and it's got kind of a combo system, which I'm like, it's interesting. The idea that you open them up and you can dial them in just like it's Mortal Kombat. The thing that's frustrating about it to me. Mm-hmm. Is that they have a perfectly good fighting system. Not perfectly, like Mortal Kombat has its problems.
Yeah.
But it's like, it seems a little bit dissatisfying to have it be this like simple here.
It's really simple. Like you do those combos, but your super moves are just the same way that it is in like X-Men Legends.
Yeah.
You know, you just hold down R2 and do it. And the thing is, but you can't really do a fighting game engine. Like there's games where the idea behind the new genre is, it's a JRPG, but instead of fighting guys, you do a shooter segment or you do, you know, a Sokoban puzzle.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, it's a roguelike, but instead of, you know, gaining power-ups, you do like a maze or like there are things like that where it's like one part of this game, this modular part is instead this. Mm-hmm. And fighting games never work for that.
Right.
Like this is like fighting. Mortal Kombat has that decent system. But the thing is, like if you played Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero, you realize that going through a Mortal Kombat fight for every Mook character is awful.
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't work. You get so sick of the fighting system and they have to tone down the AI enough to make them trivial. So you just end up sweeping the leg over and over, you know, to make them easy. And fighting game, like doing a fighting game match against like a non-powerful creature, like you have to be able to take out a non-powerful creature quickly.
Yeah.
And this game doesn't do that. Like you don't, these guys have a lot of hit points for some reason and they have like an uninterruptible block. Like I never really knew what, I never knew what I was doing to make them stop blocking.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of eventually did.
Yeah.
But like, if they would have had used the fighting system, it wouldn't have been good either.
Yeah. So like the big problem that I have, like, so Mortal Kombat Mythology is that narrowly lost out of the most recent poll. It'll show up again. Don't worry. Like, it doesn't mean we're not going to cover it. Like, the big problem there, at least for me, from what I can remember of it, is that like that combat actually hindered your progress. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like those gates in Final Fight or whatever, but much less satisfying, I guess.
Yeah.
Here you can kind of get around people, but they're setting up the encounters with like people with machine guns who do like way too much damage. Like, you get hit stunned really just easily here. Yeah. So like that's a problem where this arises, and that block is a real big problem, which you can do back to them in turn.
Yeah. That's the thing. I only found one guy with a gun. But you have to fight him with a gun.
Yeah.
And you can't, you go into first person.
Yeah.
And it's really slow and clunky. Like, when I first got it and aimed, and then somebody was walking at me punching me, and then I was just imagining like Jax with his super fucking buff arms, like slowly training his gun on the guy and lining
almost,
up his sights while
almost,
he's just punching me. And then me just shooting him until he dies, like literally inches away from him.
Well, the way that I ended up using the gun was like I'd run out into the open from around a corner, and I'd get fired on. I'd run back, and then I had to slowly peek out and then snipe the guy from across the room.
That's how you have to do it.
The gun was just a way to not have to deal with a fight.
Yeah, yeah. I was really conservative with ammo for no good reason.
Yeah.
I just used the gun on the gun guy, but that's not a good system. That's not a good part of it. So,
and so this is whatsoever. Something that I guess I kind of noticed it, but I didn't notice it as consciously, but like there was a recent episode of Retronauts about the PlayStation, and they shared this technical detail about the PlayStation. Like, it wasn't really meant to do 3D games. And so there's something about, I think the Z buffer is the name of it, where it can actually do a flat surface. And ever since I heard that episode, and then admittedly it was only like a month or two ago, like I can't look at any footage of a non like pre-rendered background. Like I can't look at footage of a fully 3D PlayStation game without noticing that it looks like all the surfaces are made out of buckling wet cardboard.
Yeah.
it's super distracting.
Weird... Yeah. And like I kind of dig that kind of thing where they trick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you have to trick a system into doing a thing.
Oh, it's great.
Again, we just did Doom.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, this is not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's in that episode, and this is a digression, and I was, with all due, like I love the Retronauts and with all due respect to those guys, but like they are on the vanguard of, I feel like, of this thing I keep reading of these people getting nostalgia for this era of graphics. Mm-hmm. And I can't get on board with it. Like, I wouldn't take it away from them. I just don't see it, you know? And like they're all like just like, man, like I want PS1 graphics to come back. Mm-hmm. And there are games that are like throwbacks to that now.
Yeah.
They're coming out and I can't see it.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't look good to me.
I mean I can see where they're coming from. Like, if you take that and you up the resolution and you just kind of like, oh, what do you do when you constrain the color palette and you don't actually have textures and you have low poly things and you're just really making conscious choices about like composition. Like, I think that Kentucky Route Zero is a wonderful example of exactly that thing. You know, like, I think that there's definitely like an opportunity for something that looks good to come out of that. Like, but if you go back and play Mortal Kombat Special Forces and you think you want more of this, well, no, fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And that's more of the stuff that I see. Like, Kentucky Route Zero, like, is more, so much more stylized and everything is dark, you know, like for the most part and stuff. And it just kind of works for it. Yeah. It looks more like out of this world.
Yeah.
To me, as far, but it doesn't look like Alone in the Dark, you know, or like the person textures don't look like, right? I mean, even like something like, just going back to the couple episodes, they don't look like Daikatana or Deus Ex and that kind of like a mapped image onto these polygons, I think looks bad.
Yeah.
I think you just have to make good
decisions around it. And like, if you take the technical limitations away, then it just becomes a stylistic, you know, kind of thing. Like, I think that, you know, eventually that becomes indistinguishable from something like Killer 7, you know, which does do an awful lot of that textureless, you know, kind of like not quite garage shaded or flat shaded, but similar to
That's the thing too, that this nostalgic thing isn't thinking about Killer 7, it's specifically the way that PlayStation 1 games used to look.
Right.
Like Kentucky Route Zero doesn't look like a PlayStation 1 game.
Mm-hmm.
It is using polygons and stuff, but it doesn't look anything like a PS1 game.
I guess when I hear that, I'm thinking like people picking and choosing that, like things about it that could look good, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like, and it's not just them. Like I'm picking on them because like I keep hearing it I'm picking on it because I care. Like I listen to it. I'm like, man, I wish I could talk to these guys. It's not a mean thing. But also on Twitter, like people are just like, man, when will this come back? And it's just some picture of fucking Banjo-Kazooie, like a close up on Banjo-Kazooie or something.
Well, it's
like
20 years ago and nostalgia moves in 20 year increments. So that's like, that's going to happen. Like in 10 years, we're going to have people saying like, man, why can't everything be brown again?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like we need to have, you know, PS2 era graphics back.
Yeah.
So I mean, I understand that intellectually. It's just, I can't see it aesthetically. And I assume that, you know, because it's a lot of people who are my age too.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I think of those kind of nostalgia trends, I tend to think of people like, oh, like those people are my age. I'm surprised they're not nostalgic for the same things I'm nostalgic for.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's the right thing to be nostalgic for, but I'm just kind of surprised. You know, so
So speaking of somebody who had his prime, like, you know, I had my equivalent of your SNES years, or was my PlayStation years, you know, mm-hmm. I can say like, I don't want everything to look like Siphon Filter. I think that is kind of like the new version of restraint, you know, like the pixel art version of how you do a 3D game, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my thought on it anyway, you know?
And like, I don't like, I think Kentucky Route Zero looks good. I think you can do good games with those restraints.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think PS1 era graphics look good.
Yep.
You know, so I guess that's more what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, Siphon Filter.
Also, I loved Siphon Filter too.
I bought all of them for my PS Go.
Oh yeah.
Or PSP Go. Yeah.
That series was just remarkably long lived for what it.
Yeah.
For
not
it really
being
was.
Very good at any really given point. Like the best thing about the series being that the unlimited range taser.
Yeah.
In the second one.
Which is like, that was a wonderful decision for them to make in terms of putting that in the demo. Like, I don't even think that taser was available during that level.
I don't think it was in that level, but it's available in the game.
It is.
And it does have
like,
the range putting
that taser front and center.
There's a mission that like stuck with me in Siphon Filter, which was like just one of my moments of. It's one of my triumphant moments as a gamer when I realized that a puzzle where you have to, there's like a hostage situation. You're covering it with a sniper rifle and there's two guards on patrol. And if you shoot one of them, the other one will shoot the hostage and you have to wait until they cross paths and shoot them through the head at the same time.
That's so good.
And I just remember it took me so long to figure it out. And then when I figured it out, I'm like, that's, you know, I feel great.
Yeah.
It was a really good moment. Whereas now it's like, I mean, I'm not, this whole section of this podcast made me sound like an old man, but like now it's like, I probably would have just looked up how to do it after a few failures.
Yeah.
You know, like what the fuck's up with this? This is a janky old game.
That game was weird about those boss things. Cause the final boss, he's like covered head to toe in like LA riot armor essentially.
Oh, yeah.
And you're fighting him on like a tarmac, like an airfield, and you have to like lure him around and like get him to walk unawares into a plane propeller.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, into the tail rotor of a helicopter.
Yeah.
Which that is one of my just biggest fears, I think. If I'm going to speak to you as a vulnerable human being, I am terrified of walking into the tail rotor of a helicopter.
It's also like, the end boss of Duck Feed. Because you have to trick Cole into walking into a tail rotor.
I'm not that smart, Gary, so it's going to be really easy to trick me into doing stuff. No, like it's to the point where I would sharpen, if I owned a helicopter, and God willing, one day I will, because I like helicopters, but I'm terrified of their tail blades. I would sharpen the tail blades so that my death would be painless and
like
merciful. Yeah.
You'd have one of those very special, like long-tailed helicopter, so the tail could be like well off the building and in safety.
Yeah,
you know, the I'm also scared of that. I don't want to be around helicopters, because it happened. What's the movie where the guy ran out?
Oh,
and
it's
got his head
Indiana Jones.
Blade. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that, yeah. Well, no, I think that was a biplane rotor.
It happens in it happened in real life to somebody.
Mm.
Is it the? It might be Night of the Living, or not Night of the Living Dead.
Oh no, you're thinking of the Twilight Zone movie.
Is that where how he died in that?
I forget. It was either that or we could Google this, but I forbid us to. I think that Twilight Zone there was a helicopter related death. I don't know if somebody walked into the rotor or not.
It happened. I want to say that happened to a real life actor or crewman, walked into a helicopter blade and had half of his face chopped off. Like, it's fucking disgusting. Something you were talking about, I mean, this is so tangential as to be
farcical, you know, but yeah, here we are.
So I found a YouTube channel that explains recent comic crossover things in brief fashion, because I kind of want to stay caught up on that stuff, but I don't have time to read them. Mm-hmm. And some of them I think are, you know, bad, big, dumb crossovers. I don't really
like Secret Wars,
right?
Like, that's
totally like, yeah. I just want to have somebody explain that to me. Yeah. So I listened to the one for Civil War, and it was like, oh, cool. Like in Age of Ultron and things like that. But the Death of Wolverine one.
Hmm.
Are you familiar with that at all?
Not at all, Gary.
Wolverine is dead in the Marvel Universe right now.
For now, yeah.
And his healing factor disappeared, and he went on this big long quest. The way he dies is in getting vengeance on the guy who put the adamantium in him. He cuts a bunch of people, and it covers him in adamantium, and he gets coated in it and comes out as a big adamantium-like mud man, and then just slowly lets himself solidify in the sun as an adamantium-covered mud man, and it's ridiculous looking.
Like he turns into a statue?
Yeah, but just like a goopy statue. There's no definition to it. It doesn't look like Wolverine.
Huh.
Like, it's a really, really weird way for him to die.
So that which defined him by being on the inside for so long was his downfall by eventually being on the outside.
Like coding, thus, that's the idea.
Yeah, thus referring to the hidden true nature of man.
Let me show you the final panel of this comic.
Okay, let me open up the window.
Okay, I'm going to put it in the Skypester here. Like, it's just like such an important character. It's this big dramatic moment. They just turn him into a goopy shiny face. And
yeah. he looks like a piece of like Easter candy somebody left out.
It's really dumb. Oh. It's just like, what are they doing at Marvel? Like, it is just.
Well, I don't think Marvel's been making very good decisions recently, from what I've heard.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. Agreed. But here's one thing you can say about him in that state, though. He would wreck shop if a helicopter rotor tried to come after him.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Like the helicopter rotor. Also, I really, obviously Wolverine's not going to stay dead.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that he comes back as this adamantium, like slime monster. Because why not at this point? Fuck
yeah. Yeah, no, just throw it in, man.
Everything that's cool about him's gone. Like, this is what he ended up as, so.
Huh?
You know?
Did he have his adamantium skeleton? I mean, if he lost his healing factor, then he would definitely not have the skeleton, because it was actively poisoning him, right?
So he had the skeleton. It was poisoning him, but he had the skeleton, so he had a limited time.
Oh,
like, that was one of the cool parts of the story. That starts off like he loses his healing factor and he goes and sees doctors and he's like, what does this mean? And they're just like, well, you're fucked. Like, you know, your metal has absorbed all kinds of bacteria. You know, when mm-hmm. you like stab people and, you know, absorbs radiation as you walk around. And if you ever get a concussion, we can't open up your skull to like relieve pressure.
No,
and
well.
Like, just like, you know, you are just, you know, your days are numbered, buddy. Like, you can't live with a skeleton without your healing factor. And it's kind of interesting. But then it's just a parade of like Wolverine supporting characters, which are never cool. Like,
yeah, no.
Oh, it's Lady Deathstrike and Cyber. Great.
Like, cool.
Yeah, I like these characters. You know, oh, Madripoor. Sign me up. Like, fucking Wolverine solo shit is always stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one fucking movie.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to say. I'm sure we'll do another Mortal Kombat game. We can talk about Mortal Kombat in general.
I think we will. It's funny because we went down that siphon filter kind of tangent. So many of the reviews that I've read of this game are drawing like unfavorable comparisons between it and Metal Gear Solid. Which is weird.
Oh,
like a non-trivial percentage of the reviews on GameFAQs were saying like, oh, Metal Gear Solid did it first and better, like as though they were trying to accomplish the same thing.
That's really, yeah, I'm looking at that now too, and that's really weird.
And so like I you know, if I was thoughtful and would prepare, I have game pros from around when this came out, like on mm-hmm. a shelf behind me, so I could pull it open and see how many hair raisers it got in comparison to Metal Gear Solid. You know, like I could totally do that.
On the surface, like you are walking around a place that has shipping containers
right
from overhead.
It's top down, and you know, like Metal Gear Solid does have a limited, you know, melee combat function too.
Yeah.
But it's just weird. It's the most superficial kind of like read you could take of just kind of like the presentational markers around this.
Yeah. It's like, I wonder if somebody misunderstood this or misunderstood Metal Gear. Like, those are the people who like didn't understand that you're supposed to sneak around in Metal Gear.
I could see that because that's how I played it the first time.
Yeah. I think that seems more likely than someone thinking this was supposed to be a stealth game.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I don't know. You've got this six story. Gary, I hate multiple floors in a video game. Okay. Like, I only barely tolerate it when Zelda does it, but it's like, I don't understand, but it's kind of like that idea that you only forget what you were going to grab when you walk over the threshold of a door from one room to another. Like, there's something about crossing that threshold, or moving through a door that causes your mind to reset, but just kind of like that. Okay. We're going to have a whole bunch of really small things stacked on top of each other, like modeling that space somehow just short circuits the part of my brain that, you know, is already struggling to like deal with 3D.
Yeah.
You know,
it just, I don't mind them if they're linear. Like, you just go up the floor to floor to floor.
Right.
Backtracking becomes obnoxious.
When you see the elevator and like, you know, Silent Hill throws a whole bunch of, you know, multi-floor buildings, but there's only like three floors, not, you know, like, okay, just go through all of these one after another. And then once you find a weapon, fuck if I know, go back to all of them again.
Yeah. Or you find like one key and it's like, well, which door was this on?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to make notes when I'm playing Mortal Kombat Special Forces.
Right. And, you know, at least Zelda has the courtesy to give you a map that's annotated, and Silent Hill for that matter too. So fuck.
Yeah. I agree. Like, it's obnoxious. It wasn't, you know, out of the games we played today, that was my favorite. And like, I put it down because I was bored, not because I was like frustrated or because it was unplayable.
Yeah.
You know, so it's got that going for it.
My controls were remapped for Brave Fencer Musashi. Mm. You know, just because that's the last time I used this PlayStation emulator to cover something, right? And so I was baffled. I thought the controls were worse than they were. It's like, these buttons don't do what they're saying at all. Why does circle go back? That's weird. And like, no, it's actually no. You just forgot that you did this, and also you don't feel like putting in the effort to remap it.
Yeah, so, just relearn.
Yeah.
Change your brain.
I'm only here for a half hour, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Tourist here. Don't bring out the coffee, Mortal Kombat, Special Forces. We ain't staying.
I don't care.
I don't have anything else to say.
I don't care about Jax. I don't care about Sonya.
No, I don't care about the story. They wanted to do more story-based Mortal Kombat games, and they were going to do one with Baraka, but I first read it as, like, in my mind, I got Baraka and Goro mixed up. And I would hella play a game that, like, where Goro was the protagonist. Like,
oh, yeah.
I want to know what Goro does every day, and, like...
Goro's morning routine?
Yeah. I want to play, like, Pac-Man 2, but with Goro.
Finger-banging Sheena? Or Shiva? Yeah.
Quad-banging. Like... you're four times the finger paying action. Well, he could finger bang Sheena, Jade, Emerald, and like, all, I was trying to think of all the different palette swapped. It's not Jade and Emerald. It's, I don't know them.
Yeah, Katana. No,
there you go.
Was Katana a good one? I know there are a couple of those lady ninjas who were good and bad.
One of them had a demon face under her face. I think it was Katana.
Maybe, but Katana was also Jade in the movie too.
Yeah. And like, put down their little mask and had a gross demon face. Like, those games like work as fighting games because it's like, that's interesting in a fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, okay, this is a weird elemental ninja and has, you know, they're differentiated enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine for them just to be different. Like, I'll buy noobs I bought in a game in a way that I won't in a movie.
Yeah.
You know,
they never put Noob Saibot in a movie. I think the closest they got was Ermac in Mortal Kombat Armageddon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was represented there.
Yeah.
Mm.
He is toasty. Mortal Kombat's like, I played a lot of Mortal Kombat.
Oh, me
like,
too.
When I was young. Like, I, you know, and I like the idea of like, they did what you would have to do to be a Street Fighter clone, which is like, I mean, the fatality, like, it innovated on that thing.
Yeah. Focus
like, fatalities are immature, but like,
focus on something different, you know?
Like, and the button, the combos were different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you know, Street Fighter never had tap combos. Like, forward back never did anything in Street Fighter. Like, they actually had new forms of input and stuff. So I have a grudging respect for Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
I like playing it more than I like playing something like Primal Rage. But it's not, you know, It's not really worth playing now.
Yeah, no, I had a Mortal Kombat was like a bonding experience with my dad. Like we would go to the Hills department store and they had a Mortal Kombat machine out front and we would play it every time we were there. And then he would get me something from the bubble machine, like the Gachabon thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've told you this story before, but when Mortal Kombat, when the commercials were running and everyone ran out into the street yelling Mortal Kombat, I did that. I know I told you on this
Mortal Monday or whatever it was.
Yeah, I ran out in the middle of the street and yelled Mortal Kombat.
Were you the first person in your neighborhood to do that?
I guess. I don't even know. It wasn't for anybody. I was just did, like, felt the call.
When I was a little kid, I'm talking like elementary school aged, for some reason, the only CDs I would ever get were soundtracks. So like imagine like an 8-year old Cole with the soundtrack to Tommy Boy with all of with all of its weird like 80s pop and punk stuff on it. But I also had the soundtrack to the Mortal Kombat movie, that crazy like dance techno kind of thing. Like it's still like in retrospect it's probably like really trashy dance techno, but like I have a fondness for it. But it's like, you know, we had like Jump Rope for Heart Day or whatever in our gym class, and I'm like, okay, you can bring, you know, as long as you're approved, you can bring in your whatever CD you want, you can play this while we're jump roping for heart. It was like, okay, cool. So I brought in the Mortal Kombat thing. I felt all cool because the kids were getting into the Sub-Zero. This is like the shouting of Mortal Kombat followed by just a fucking roll call of all the people in the movie.
It's a really good song. It's similar to the Gates Are Open song, which you know that, right?
No, I don't.
The Gates of Hell, like techno song.
No.
It's really good. It's about the gates. Let me see if I can find some information on it real quick. It's a me and Brayton thing.
Okay.
And me and Derek.
And now
the
it's
gates
a
are open
you.
Techno song autocomplete, so people know what I'm talking about. By DJ Outblast, the gates are open climax with a Q. Oh no, Devil's Gate. But it's just like goes through the different gates and it's like fifth gate. Now it's your turn to feel the pain. And stuff
like
that.
A workout DVD for demons.
More or less, like, here, let's see if I can. Man, I would love to find the graphics of this. The sixth date dance with the devil is the name of the song. Did you see that?
Yep.
The gates are open.
It opened up with a haunted house scream.
Let's see if he says the gates are open again. So it's all about the gates going open. Here.
Gate 2, my guards are watching you. Gate 3, only evil lives here. Gate 4, there's no way out. Gate 5, feel the fire. Gate 6, pick up your weapons and fight.
There is no beat! Why is there a beat?
Just during fight. That... And just during that part, this is when you're just like...
Fight! And dance with the devil!
Is that special?
Why is the devil? Why is his music like a cyber harpsichord? Here, I'm choking. I'm gonna die.
I haven't thought about that song in a long time, but that's what the Mortal Kombat song reminds me
of. I'm crying, Gary.
Gate 1, feel the fire.
Oh, I need to take off my glasses. I have like simultaneous hiccups and vomits. Oh man, we need to end this as quickly as possible. I need to get some tissues, man.
The YouTube man from Azure Fuentes is a picture of Star Fox from Super Smash Brothers. It says, "Bye, rock on, me." I think D-Devils is the name of the actual band.
There's like 70 different cover versions.
It's very special.
Huh.
It's good.
So Gary, this was recommended by Mike Farrell.
Hold on one second. The part after the way we just listened to during that thing, where it says "pick up your weapons and fight, and dance with the devil." After when it gets to the next part, he goes through the gates again, And he goes, gate one, gate two, gate three. He doesn't say what the gates are.
Yeah.
Gate four, gate five, gate 666. Now fight me again. Like that's the end of the song. It just says, do the same thing again. Sorry to give you
that. I've hiccups. Only had two beers and you're making me hiccup, man. Come on.
Yeah. That's the power of the D-Devils. D-Devils will do it.
Oh, God. I'm having too much fun. Yeah. But this was recommended by Mike Farrell. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Appreciated. Dance with the Devil.
In the pale moonlight.
Anger. Hate, fear. Chaos. Darkness. Evil. Hell.
Hell is not open. Like all those things are like other emotions or concepts. Hell is a place.
Yep. God. It's the D-Devils are not necessarily articulate.
Yeah, they're not thematically consistent. I'm disappointed, no. Gary.
Yeah, that's why they used to be the C-Devils and formerly the B-Devils, and then it's got worse and worse.
Yeah, things got worse at home, and their grades slipped.
The divorce is happening.
It's all my fault. I like that we did that both simultaneously, but contradicted each other. Oh God! So,
what are we? What are you doing? You don't have to say what we're doing next time if it's too hiccupy.
Well, we don't actually know, because okay. That is going to be one of the raffle.
Please don't cut out any of these hiccups.
No, I'm not going to. I'm dropping markers just in case I need to drop the levels. But
yeah.
I swear, only two beers. Come on. Okay. But no, we're so the raffle for our $15 and up people, that is going to happen. Somebody's going to foist a game upon us. I'll make that clear on the social channels when we know what that episode's going to be.
Into it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So I'm embarrassed about my hiccups. If you want to leave us a rating or review, please recognize that that is an involuntary bodily function at this point. I can't control it.
If somebody writes us a low review because you got the hiccups.
Yeah.
In this show, like no offense to, offense to the person who does that. Fuck you. Like, who does that? Like, come on.
Well, they're like, man, the editing on this.
This is like I'm taking a lot of joy out of it. not out of your suffering necessarily, but like it is it's delightful and unpredictable. So
well, rest assured it will come at the end of whatever sentence it happens to interrupt.
Thanks everybody. If you want to leave us a rating or review and hopefully disregard the hiccups, you can do so at iTunes, and we really appreciate it. You can also blog it or Twitter it. Anything like that. We get this is the show that gets the other shows do too, but this one gets the most surprising nice stuff from Twitter.
Yeah,
I think
I really like that. Like, I've got I'll admit I have a saved search for all of the show names that I do. I go through and look at every morning. Like, I see those when they come through. You know, just because I'm a vanity monster, but I really appreciate it when that stuff comes through.
Mm-hmm. Really, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it brightens my day. So thank you.
Indeed. Yeah. Thank you.
But yeah, until next time, Gary.
Yeah, let's the gates are open. So.
Oh man.
Let's dance with the devil.
Who is Zoo Dog?
Yeah, who is Zoo Dog?
Send me a link to that so I can include it as music.
I definitely will, but I'm gonna also send you a link to it because I'm gonna listen to it again.
Okay.
I have not thought about it in a long time.
Do it in Slack.
Okay, I will.
Yeah,
I'll do so now.